Good morning. SP, can you hear me?
Yes.
Aren't you so thankful to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Yes. Especially with all these women. Let's pray, okay? Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. My soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who are on the earth, these are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Their sorrow shall be multiplied who hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Thank you, Lord. Therefore, my heart is glad. My glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. You will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have given me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. And at your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. God, thank you for your presence in this house, God. Thank you, Lord, for these precious, precious bride of Christ that stands before me, Lord. And God, we just ask that you would come. And we thank you, Lord, that you will open up the heavens, God, and you're going to come down, Lord. And we just ask on earth as it is in heaven, open hearts, Lord. Open up our hearts and allure us again, Lord. Unleash your unfailing love again, Lord, today in this service, Father. I pray over the men. Jesus, we thank you for them, Lord. We ask for Rick Lehman that he would speak your prophetic word, Lord, with authority, Lord, and that you would bring revival to the men. Lord, we ask for a revival. Lord, they would come back so rocked by your love, Jesus. And Lord, that we would too, Lord, we're not going to miss out because we're here, because you're here. So Lord, we ask, God, open up the heavens, Lord, unleash your love on your bride this morning in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. I love this church. So thankful to be in this church. I don't think we would be here without you, SP. You have loved us so well. And I'm so thankful for a pastor who leads us in prayer and fasting and really does mentor in that area. I have never actually been a part of a church that does corporate fasting like that. And I'm just being rocked. And also with this Orphan Heart series, it's been really, really good and just doing some things deep down in my heart. And so I want to kind of go through. The Holy Spirit said to me, when P. Sam called me, I was freaked. Okay, he doesn't call me. I was like, what did I do? What's wrong? And he's like, okay, I've been praying. And then I got even more terrified. And then he said, I think you need to pray about preaching a message. And I just thought, he has gone crazy. Okay. But then I said, okay, I'll pray about it. And I went to the Lord and just seeking his heart that week. And the Lord said, I want you to pray on identity and Hosea. And I was like, are you kidding me, Lord? Because I feel like we're being beat with a stick with identity. But okay, we're going to pray. We're going to do it. And then he preached the message on Hosea the next Sunday without even telling anybody. And I'm like, Lord, really? So we're going to actually go back to Hosea. Open up your Bibles right now. We're going to actually go back through Hosea. But this time, we're definitely going to hit sonship and the spirit of sonship. But we're going to look at it through the lens of being the bride of Christ and him, our faithful bridegroom. Okay, so it's going to be a little bit different. I think we can, as women in here, I think there's a few guys, but all of us are the bride of Christ, so it's all relevant. But I think as women, we can really relate more to that identity of being a bride. Okay, Hosea actually served the northern kingdom of Israel at the time. Okay, this was called Ephraim, and it was separated from Judah. So they were actually separated. But the more wayward of the two was the northern kingdom where Hosea was serving. Okay, so people had a form of worship. They were denying its power. There was a time of prosperity, lots of material possessions and wealth, and they were worshiping idols. And the Lord, in his great brilliance, he actually speaks to Hosea. But Hosea doesn't just get to speak the message. He gets to live the message, which is way harder. And it's crazy, too. And right after Hosea completes this call, the Lord actually asks Isaiah to walk around 3 years naked as a proclamation against Egypt and Ethiopia. And you can read that in Isaiah 20. So the Lord was doing some crazy things with his prophets at this time, okay? So watch out. You never know what he's going to ask you to do. Okay. I'm going to go through the three different viewpoints that we're going to look at in Hosea. The first one is going to be Hosea and Gomer, okay, and their relationship. The second one is going to be the Lord and his relationship with Israel. And the third is going to be the Lord and his relationship with us today as seeds of Abraham by faith, okay? So it's very relevant, this information, to us as the bride of Christ for today, for now. Okay, so here are some questions I want to ask you. Who are you in the realm of the kingdom of God? You're like, are you kidding me that you're asking me that? If you've been here the last 10 weeks, I'm a son, right? But we're going to explore more there. What does his perfect will, his destiny look like for us specifically? What does he want me to do in the kingdom? How can I experience more of his love, more of his power if I am so prone to wander? How in the world? Okay, so I want the outline. I don't know if it's up there. But I want it to be up there because I'm going to jump around a lot. And so I don't want you to get confused when I'm talking about there's three different relationships we're going to be jumping around on. And then there's also I'm going to not go in order. So I apologize in advance. Okay. And so we decided that we would go on one last hedonistic trip to Hawaii. Without our kids. Yeah, that's how badly we were in for worshiping our will, our way, our stuff, our time, you know. So we went and we left our three kids at home. And it was May 2012, and Tyler bought the book Hawaii Revealed. He's really good at planning, and so he goes through it. He's highlighting where we're going to eat, what we're going to do, all these things. And then he gets to this hike. He loves hiking. And he's like, we're going to do this 12-mile trail, you know, and I'm so excited about it. Okay, whatever. And then we go, and it's like gorgeous scenery. I mean, you can only get there by helicopter. And so it's these 3,000-foot drops. It's just gorgeous, beautiful. We're having so much fun. Glory of God, praying, singing, like having so much fun. And then we get to the 6-mile marker. And it's like there's warning signs with big X marks and stick people falling off of a cliff. And I'm like, I'm done, babe. I'm so excited about this trip. It was awesome. Thank you. Let's turn around now. And he's like, no, 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 no. This was in the manual, and we're going to be just fine. There's been a lot of people go across this thing, and I'm like, there doesn't look like there's not one person is on the trail, okay, mind you, okay? So I'm like, even if we were to die, nobody would find us, babe. And if you were to die or I were to die and then the other one's left, what's happening? You know, I'm just freaking out. And I'm like, there's no way. I'm kind of whining and complaining and everything. But then he gets to the point where he's like, no, I'm serious. You're athletic. We're going to do this thing. Okay. We're going to do it together. We will die together. And I'm like, oh, like starting to whine and like a kid, like cry and stuff. And then I realized I have a decision to make, okay? Either I am going to go back on that easy, comfortable, beautiful road, or I'm going to take this leap of faith and do something crazy with my husband. Okay, in the same way, Hosea had a decision to make, okay? So listen to what the Lord says to him. This is verse 2. Actually, I'll start at verse 1. The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. When the Lord began to speak by Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, go, Take yourself a wife of harlotry and children of harlotry, for the land has committed great harlotry by departing from the Lord. I mean, I can't even imagine. This is, okay, just picture. He is a stud prophet. Like, Israel knows who Hosea is at this time, okay? He is scary dude. He knows the Lord. And the Lord asks him, go take a wife of harlotry. Can you even imagine what went through his mind? I mean, what? Why? What? You want me to do? Go where? I've never been to that part of town. You know, that's not where the holy men of God go. And so he goes. And so listen, he decides. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and she bore him a son. And then the Lord said to him, call his name Jezreel, for in a little while I will avenge the bloodshed of Jezreel on the house of Jehu and bring an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. It shall come to pass in that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. So he made the decision. He was going to go take a wife of harlotry, and he takes Gomer. Now, already we know Hosea means salvation, and Gomer means completion, okay? Now, when the Lord said, call his name Jezreel, I just want to tell you why the Lord did that and what Israel would have thought of when they heard the birth announcement that Sunday, okay? I will avenge the bloodshed of Israel. He says that. Okay, what's a Jezreel? Well, it's a vineyard. It's actually a place. Jezreel is a city, but there was a vineyard that Naboth had in this place. And King Ahab and Queen Jezebel really wanted this vineyard, okay? So they set up a plan. They were unbelievably wicked. They sent to kill him. And so they had Naboth killed so they could steal the vineyard from them. Okay, but in judgment to what they did, God sent Jehu to kill Ahab and Jezebel and the 70 sons of Ahab. So what Israel would have thought of is the bloodshed on the land, okay, and the judgment of God that came when they announced this little boy's name, okay? And notice it says that she conceived and bore him a son, Hosea a son. So we think that Jezreel is actually Hosea's son. But then let's go on here. And she conceived again, and this is verse 6. She conceived again and bore a daughter, and then God said to him, call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no longer have mercy on the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. Yet I will have mercy on the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword or battle, by horses or horsemen. Okay, so then she has this little girl, and notice it doesn't say, we don't know whether it's Hosea's child. I guess you never know when your wife is a prostitute. Okay, so then she's crawling around, Lo-Ruhamah is crawling around, and then she gets weaned, and it says she conceives again, Gomer conceives and bears another son. And then God said, call his name Lo-Ami, for I am not your people, and I will not be, you are not my people, and I will not be your God. So, names are very, very important to me too. And I have, you know, because I have three children, I really sought the Lord on their names because I know it has something to do with, you know, who the Lord calls them. It's a secret identity. And so I prayed with each one. Each one has a special name from the Lord. But with Samuel, it was a bit different. Because I didn't want to have a third child at all. I was so done. I was like, thank you, Lord, for my two awesome girls. And Tyler said, babe, I think it's time to have another one. And I said, oh, that's so easy for you to say. You don't have to do very much. Like, right. Okay, but I'll pray about it. And so we prayed, and I just, one of those prayers, you know, not my will, but yours be done, Lord, and just tell me. And so it was Thanksgiving week, 2010, and I'm emailing back and forth with the girl who is resurrected from the dead, and she's 16, so she's just like answering my questions. You know, I love singing, I love this, I love that, these are my hobbies. And then at the bottom of her email, it says, my father Enoch says, you're going to have a son, and his name will be Samuel. And I get this email, and I'm like, Tyler, the prophets are emailing us. did you tell anybody that we were praying about this? What did you do? What did you say? And he's like, no, 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 no. That's crazy. That's crazy. So I still wanted to hear from the Lord on my own. And so I went to the book of 1 Samuel. I'm reading through, you know, the first chapter, and it gets to the part where it says, Hannah calls him Samuel because he was inquired of the Lord. You asked me, Lauren, is what I felt like the Lord said. And I was like, whoa, okay, I did ask you. And I really didn't like the name Samuel at first. And I was like, don't tell P. Sam I said that, though, okay? Just don't tell him, okay? You better not tell him. Anyway, and so I was like, Wesley, now I love the name. Now, by the way, I do love it now because it's my boy. So I have to love it. So a shift happens in the text. Let's go to verse 10. It says, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And it shall come to the pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people. There it shall be said to them, you are sons of the living God. And then the children of Judah and the children of Israel shall be gathered together and shall appoint for themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land. For great will be the day of Jezreel. Say to your brethren, my people, and to your sisters, mercy is shown. So already our covenant God is redeeming and restoring what he just spoke. Number one, he declares the covenant that he made with Abraham in that verse 10. He says, even though I name these kids judgment names, even though that I'm remembering my covenant with Abraham that says you're going to increase as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. So it's almost like the Lord is just recalling his promise he made to Abraham. And even though there will be judgment, even maybe generations to come, that there is going to be mercy. Okay. The second part that he declares that they will be sons of the living God. And he declares it over us today if we are indeed the seed of Abraham. And then, thirdly, he redeems the judgments on the children's names. Check out chapter 2, verse 1. It says, for great will be the day of Jezreel. Say to your brethren, my people, and to your sisters, mercy is shown. Those three are the three names of Gomer, or the three kids of Gomer and Hosea. And so he's flipping and saying, they will be my people. And so this is our covenant God and his redemption. And even though the judgments are going to birth, even maybe generations of judgments to come, he's saying his heart is still, he wants them to be a reflection of himself, his faithful bride, okay? So jump ahead to chapter 2, verse 16, and we're going to read verse 16. And it shall be in that day, says the Lord, that you will call me my husband, my Ishi, and no longer call me my master or my Baal. Okay, this brings us to our first point. So who are you in the realm of the kingdom of God? Yes, you are sons of the living God, but more than that, you are his betrothed bride. You are his beloved bride as a church, okay? So this is our point number one. He wants to love you as a husband loves you, not as an owner or possessor. He doesn't want robots. He wants us to come to him as lovers of our soul, okay? And I want to mention one thing, too. There is no such thing as spiritual singlehood in the house of the Lord, okay? You are all betrothed to one bridegroom, and you will bear spiritual fruit, whether you get married on this earth or not. You will leave a legacy, a spiritual legacy. Okay? In Christ, you will. Okay, so I want to go through just a few scriptures that portray the bride of Christ. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness. And as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels, Isaiah 61:10. For as a young man marries a virgin, so shall your sons marry you. And as a bridegroom rejoices over a bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. Isaiah 62:5. And the parable of the wise and foolish virgins, you probably know well, Matthew 25, it says, the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamp and went out to meet the bridegroom. Matthew 25:1. But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and they will fast in those days. Mark 2:20. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was to be granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Revelation 19:7-8. And I know it feels like we're being beat to death by this word, that you are children of God and you are sons. But you are also the bride of Christ. This is who you are. The answer is in Jesus. I don't know why the Holy Spirit keeps drilling us with this, but maybe it's because you're not believing it yet. Let's ask ourselves, why is the Holy Spirit still speaking this word to me? What unbelief lies within? Okay. Let's go down here. I love, love, love John the disciple and the way that he portrays himself in his book, because he says, he doesn't even name himself. He says, the one whom Jesus loved was there. You know, and I just wonder if he was trying to give us a lesson on identity, because who we are is who our Ishi says that we are. Not who we think we are or what the world thinks we are or what our titles are. It's who our Ishi, our husband, our bridegroom, our God says that we are. Okay, what if we walked around just talking and saying, I'm just the one who Jesus loves. And we didn't even name ourselves. You know, I wonder what would change. But, okay, another thing Paul says, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So, that's Paul, Ephesians 5:22. Okay, let's skip down. We're going to actually go to chapter 3. We're going to skip chapter 2 for now. So turn over to chapter 3. Okay, the reason why we're going to chapter 3 is because this is the last place where we see Hosea and Gomer as a couple. The rest of the book of Hosea is all going to be related to Israel, okay? So I just want to go through their story. It says, then the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by a lover and is committing adultery, just like the love of the Lord for the children of Israel who look to the other gods and love the raisin cakes of the pagans. So she's gone. Gomer hiked it out of there. She left those three kids at home with him, and he is alone. And he knows the law. He knows that he can divorce her. He's like, yes, I can divorce her. I'm free. No, you're not free, Hosea. The second thing she deserves, according to the Mosaic law, is she deserves to be stoned and killed and brought before all of Israel. And the Lord says, go again, Hosea. Go get her, go find her, buy back what is already yours. Now, I can't even imagine what went through Hosea's mind and where he had to go. Where did he have to go to find her? Back on that slave block, he had to go looking, asking people. Can you even imagine how painful that pursuit was? I don't know if I could have done it, but so he finds her there. He sees her on the slave block, the mother of his three children. She's naked. She's in chains. Can you imagine the look on her face when she saw her husband, who insists on coming back and finding her? Can you imagine the shame and the embarrassment that she felt that she left her three kids in that moment? Can you imagine Hosea walking up to the slave owner and saying, "Man, that's my wife. Give her to me." And he's like, "I don't care who you think she is, but she costs this much. Let's go down." "So I bought her for myself for 15 shekels of silver and 1.5 homers of barley." He pays half in cash, half in barley, probably because the cost was way too high. Can you even imagine the exchange of their faces when she goes back to him and he buys back what already is his wife? Can you imagine? I'm sure she hung her head. I'm sure in shame. Can't imagine. We're going to go back and look. You know how it says in verse 1, just like the love of the Lord for the children of Israel? Now here, this really means Israel, okay? But prophetically, today, it means the whole world. God so loved the whole world. And what did they do? They go back and they go to other gods and they love the raisin cakes of the pagans. What are the raisin cakes of the pagans? It's finding worth and significance in their junk, in their stuff, in their possessions. Finding love in anything else but their Hosea. And who is Hosea? Our salvation. It was Jesus. You see, Jesus came back for us. And he bought back what was already his. Okay? Psalm 24 says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness therein." You are already his precious possession. But your God put on flesh and he came down and he bought back what was already his and you are in chains. We are Gomer. You are Gomer and I am Gomer. And we were the ones that were in chains and we were the ones that ran away. And by the way, you weren't so neat and put together when he found you. Okay? You were in chains. And he broke that free. And he was the wrath of God for us. He became sin for us that we might be the righteousness of God in him. You see, Jesus is our Hosea. If we could just grasp the love of God, that he still is insisting that he wants to pay for us, even when we daily go after other gods and prostitute ourselves to the world and to our flesh and to the enemy. Okay? That is who our God is. Salvation completes the work. Do you see it? Do you see it, church? He wants you to love him like a lover. Where do you find your worth? Where do you find your significance? Where do you find meaning of your life? What is satisfying us more than Jesus? Let's read through. Verse 3, "And I said to her, 'You shall stay with me, Gomer, many days. You shall not play the harlot, nor shall you have a man. So too will I be towards you.'" You see, I've been faithful to you, Gomer, and you will be faithful to me. You will. It's almost like he is sure about her, even though she's not sure about herself. See, she feels rotten. She's ashamed. "For the children of Israel," okay, this is the shift in the text, okay? We're going to Israel now. "For the children of Israel shall abide many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred pillar, without ephod or teraphim. Afterward, the children of Israel shall return and seek the Lord their God and David their king." And notice, you know, it says David, and Hosea is doing the best job he knows how to do with the information he has, okay? He doesn't know that Christ is going to come in 750 years from now, okay? But he is, and there will be the Messiah. But he doesn't know. At this point, he is just in expectation of the things to come, you see, okay? Jesus hasn't come yet. So he's talking about their king because Israel wants a king so bad. He's like, you know, it's going to be tough. You're not going to have a king. You're going to be abiding many days without a king. But then look, it says at the end, They shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. This is afterward. The children of Israel shall return after they seek their God and David, their king. They shall fear the Lord. Now, Israel knows what the fear of the Lord is. Like, this is terrifying fear. This is like, I didn't keep the Ten Commandments and he burned me up. Okay? This is that kind of fear. But there will come a day that they shall fear the Lord and his goodness, his graciousness, because of Christ. We can fear the Lord and his graciousness in the latter days. We are in the latter days. These are the days. Okay, bride? Okay, so let's go back. Let's go to influence in Jesus. And we're going to go back to chapter 2, verse 14. I'm skipping over the when she leaves to go with her idols, when Gomer leaves. And we're going to go to this gorgeous love song. This is one of the most beautiful love songs in the whole Bible. And just listen with your heart. Okay. Therefore, behold, I will allure her, will bring her into the wilderness, and speak comfort to her. I will give her her vineyards from there, and the valley of Achor as a door of hope. And then she shall sing there, as in the days of her youth, and as the day when she came up from the land of Egypt, the land of slavery. Okay? So just picture it. Two lovers at a party, and the lover says, come out with me to the garden. I want to whisper something to your heart. I want to go in the private place. Let's go. And so he takes her into the wilderness, and he speaks comfort to her, and he promises fruitfulness. He says, I'm going to give her her vineyards from there. And then he says, the valley of Achor as a door of hope. And he wants to speak to her heart. Don't think you're too ugly, Gomer. Don't think you're too rotten. Don't think you're too shamed. I still want you. I still want your heart. Listen. Open your heart, Gomer. You are a lover, and you are drawn away by the world. You are drawn away by selfish ambition and your own pleasures. But now, I still want you. You're still mine. So now, what is this Valley of Achor that it's talking about? Okay, let's turn to Joshua chapter 7, and we're going to take a look at what he's talking about here. Go to verse 10 in chapter 7 of Joshua. Okay, verse 10. So the Lord said to Joshua, get up, why do you lie on your face? Israel has sinned, and have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken some of the accursed things, and have both stolen and deceived, and they also put it among their own stuff. Skip down to 18. We're going to go to 18. Then he brought his household, man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And now Joshua said to Achan, my son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord your God of Israel. Make confession to him. Now, what have you done? Do not hide it from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I did. When I saw the spoils of a beautiful Babylonian garment, 2 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and I took them. And there they are hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent with the silver underneath it. So Joshua sent messengers. They ran to the tent. There it was hidden in the tent with the silver underneath it. And then they took them from the midst of the tent, brought them to Joshua and all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. Then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them to, there it is, the Valley of Achor. Then Joshua said, why do you trouble us? The Lord will trouble you this day. So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire after they stoned them with stones. Then they raised over him a great heap of stones, and still there to this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger on Israel. Sorry, I added that. Therefore, the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. Now, what is the Valley of Achor? It's the place of trouble. And the same God that is a consuming fire that wants to burn up our sins is the same God that wants to melt your heart today. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's good, okay? So point number two, you are influential because of Christ in you, the hope of glory. He wants to turn your valleys of trouble, your calamities, your troubles into a door of hope. He wants you to have this influence because you are his bride, okay? What if he allows you to go through these troubles so that you are able to testify to others for their own deliverance? What if he's using even the bad things that happen to us for a comfort to others in the world? And this is our influence. Thus says the Lord, you will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. Okay? What a powerful influence our hope, our Christ is giving us. He's giving us a door of hope. You are the bride of immense influence because of Christ in you, the hope of glory. And what does it say in Romans 8:28? And we know all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to his purpose. So you are the loved and you are the called and you are the chosen bride of immense influence. Why do you think the enemy wants to sift you like wheat? He only has a short time, and so he's deceiving you. He is the great deceiver of the nations, okay? Trust in your hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is going to be our entryway into abundant life on this side of heaven. We need to share our testimony. Maybe you're in a valley of Achor right now. He's going to turn it into a door of hope. You trust in his goodness, okay? Trust in the Lord's goodness. He is always good all the time, even though he will allow you to walk through these valleys. It's for his glory. It's for your good. It's for your influence. Okay, that's number two. So share your Valley of Achor. Number three, we're going to go to our third point. We're going to go back to Hosea 2, and we're going to reread point number one. And it shall be in that day, says the Lord, that you will call me husband, Ishi, and you will no longer call me Baal. You are going to be my lover. You are, church. You will be. You're not going to be owned. I'm not a slave driver and I'm not a master over you. I don't want to possess you. I want you to love me. For I will take from her mouth the names of the Baals, and they shall be remembered by their name no more. And in that day, I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and with the birds of the air and with the creeping things of the ground. Bow and sword of battle I will shatter from the earth. Okay, this is going to be our point number three, verse 19. He's going to speak here through the prophet Isaiah and declare a renewal of covenant with us. And this is also Hosea saying it to Gomer. He's going to renew himself in her. This is like a marriage vow, guys. Okay? Like I'm redoing my vows. I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy. I will betroth you to myself in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. Three times he says, I will betroth, I will betroth, I will betroth. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Do you think this is important? I don't know. Let's see. Okay. Now, this, you shall know the Lord, Genesis 4:1, is the same know that Adam knew Eve and they bore Cain. This is not like, I know my friend. This is like, no, I experienced him. I've encountered him. This is a know, like you know. It's deeper. Okay, so this is our fierce and faithful initiator, and he wants intimacy with us in the most holy of ways. In the most holy of ways, your God wants to encounter you. And this is point number three. You are betrothed to one bridegroom. This is his promise to us. And you shall know me. You need to claim it. He doesn't just put it in your hand. You got to say back to him, I claim this word, Lord. I claim this promise on my life. You will betroth me to yourself in righteousness, in justice, in loving kindness, in mercy, and in faithfulness. And I will know you, and you will know me. Okay, this is relentless love. He is sure about us. He has seen us unveiled. He knows what he's getting. He knows how sinful we are. He knows you're going to go back into your other lovers tomorrow. He knows already. So claim his faithfulness, okay? I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. And I just want to share, too, in my own walk with the Lord, he really spoke this word to me when I asked him, Lord, how do I be faithful to you? How do I want to be called a faithful woman, but I'm just failing daily. Like, how does this even work? And the Lord led me to Psalm 37:3. It says, trust in the Lord, do good, and dwell in the land, and feed on his faithfulness. It's not your faithfulness, babe. It's his faithfulness. It's his spirit in you that's going to be faithful to me. And that's what he's saying in this covenant vow, okay? He's saying, hey, this is a betrothal of my faithfulness, not yours. And you're going to know me. So claim this word for yourself. Okay, let's read on. It shall come to pass in that day that I will answer, says the Lord. I will answer the heavens, and I will answer the earth. And the earth shall answer with grain, with new wine, with oil, and they shall answer Jezreel. Then I will sow her for myself in the earth. See, she was scattered, but now she's going to be planted and fruitful. And I will have mercy on her who had not had mercy. And I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people. And then they shall say, you are my God. And what does Peter say in his epistle to the early church? He says, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are his own special possession, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who were once not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now you've obtained mercy. Hallelujah. This deserves a hallelujah. So going back, that was point number three. We're going to go back to that Hawaiian trail, and I'll finish my story. So we were walking, and I am just beside myself, you know, with this 3,000-foot drop. So I began to inch across, and I decide, okay, if I'm dying, I'm dying with my husband. And I see this cord, you know, the soil is just still, it's breaking off. It's not sturdy, rocky soil. You can't go rock climbing in Hawaii. It just, you touch it and it crumbles, okay? This is how scary this was. I mean, it's like slippery. And so I see the root-like cord from a tree, and I just nudge it a little, and I'm like, okay, I think it's secure. Let's do this thing. And so we crossed, and we made it. Of course, I'm standing here. Wow, I'm here. No. Anyway, but yeah, that Hosea 11:4 says, I drew them with gentle cords, with bands of my love. Go look at that scripture later. I drew them with my loving kindness. Hold on to me, love. This is your security. I am your security. You don't get security from anywhere else, not your job, not who you think you are, who your family is, nothing except for Jesus. He is our security. And my valley of fear became a destiny of hope. And you know what happened is the Lord really gave me this picture of this hike as a prophetic picture of what he was doing in our lives. This was an ending, a funeral of my old life. Act one is over, and then he's opening up act two. It's because we were leaving for Hong Kong 2 months after this happened. And he's just like, trust me, I'm the adventure. I'm the adventure. There is fullness of life in him, guys. We just walk by faith. We just trust him. Then he'll take us on an adventure with him. And so I'm going to read Jeremiah 31:3. I'm sorry, I know y'all are so sick of me reading scriptures. But the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Let's close our eyes, okay? Let the Holy Spirit just speak into your heart. Open your heart again. You're not too rotten. No one's ever too far for Jesus to come, speak his love over you. He wants you to cry, my Ishi, my husband, my lover, not my owner, not my master. He wants you to have an influence. Bride, you have a call. You have a mighty call in God. He possesses you and you are special, and he's going to give you your Valley of Achor as a door of hope, all your troubles into dancing, all of them. He wants your intimacy. He says, claim this covenant with him. I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you to me in righteousness, in justice, in loving kindness, in mercy, and in faithfulness. And you shall know the Lord. You shall encounter me. You shall experience me. You will know me through and through, and you will walk in abundant life forever, even on this earth. Even on this earth. And what I love, the end times cry, because the end times prayer movement is a bridal cry. It's a bride crying out along with the Spirit, saying, come, come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts say, come. I will satiate your thirst. I will pour out heaven on you, and you will never be thirsty. You will be filled with living water. Living water. Spring up, O wells of living water, living hope, living joy in your presence, pleasures at your right hand. This is abundant life. So Jesus, we say, come. Ravish your bride. Unleash your love like never before. Light a fire in our soul that we can't contain, that we can't control. Lord, change us. We need you. We can't go on without you, God. We need more. We need more of your presence. We need to walk worthy of the calling. We need to walk worthy. Redeem the time that Satan has taken away. Redeem it, Lord. Redeem it for your glory. God, your loving kindness, it leads us to repentance. It's your loving kindness. It's the cord. It's the cord of your loving kindness that leads us, Jesus, to our faces and our knees. God, so I pray that would happen right now, God, that with all their hearts, they would just surrender, that you are trustworthy and true, faithful forever, God. You are, Lord. Jesus, I pray, God, let them receive your love, God. Open up the heavens, God. Lord, rain righteousness down, God. Bring revival to us, God. We need you. We are dry. Come water us, Lord. Water our souls and plant the heavens. Give us fruit. God, we love you. Where anybody in this room who has never said I do to the great I am, I just want to talk to you right now. like, you don't know what I'm talking about, do you? He's so good. He's so good. I just want you to listen to him, hear his presence. And I just want you to hear him say, I've always loved you. You were purposeful to me. And you were made for me. You see, he loves you. He wants you to surrender all right now. And believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. Okay? So just do it. Just say, come on in, Lord. I ask for forgiveness of my sins. I know I have sinned. And I need you, Jesus. I have nothing without you. You just say, I believe you were raised from the dead. And I believe, Lord, that you are King forever on your throne. And I surrender all. And for those of you who you know Jesus, but you've just been wayward. You've been going back to those chains on that slave walk and wanting to be loved with possessions and finding significance in your job or a person apart from the Lord. It doesn't have to be a bad person, but he wants to be that person. Jesus wants you to renew and claim that covenant. The covenant of betrothal today. Just renew your vows with the Lord. You know that wedding dress you always wanted? He's about to put it on you. He's about to array you with righteous robes, not filthy rags. No more filthy rags in this house. No more. No more striving. No more, Lord. We ask, God, you come. You put on us that righteous robe, Lord. The covenants of old, Lord. The covenants of old, like a ring on our finger, God, that these covenants would be wrapped, encircled around us, God, encircled around our mind, our soul, so we can love you with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. Lord, please come and do a mighty work in this house. Lord, make these girls radiant and the men in here too, because they're the bride too. Jesus, we ask, just come, Lord, in all your power. Open up the heavens, God, show off. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I just feel God wants you guys to have some space with him to respond. It was a very heavy, deep sermon, and I think God's just calling for you to have space with him. We have an open floor up here. You can do it at your seat, but don't be afraid to come and kneel at the altar. And just come to God where you're at. Maybe you're in that first category where you still really need to know that you are God's son and that you are Christ's wife. That you are God's son and that you are Christ's wife. If you are a follower of Jesus, that is what you are. Maybe you're there and maybe you need to spend some time to let God speak to you on that. Maybe you're in the second point where you're trying to really figure out your testimony and how it can be used. And maybe things in your life didn't go so well and you're angry at God for it. But let's flip it around. Maybe it's time for you to step out and use that so God can use you to heal the nations. Maybe God's saying, you're okay. Yeah, I know bad things happen to you. They happen to everyone. Maybe not as bad as what happened to you. But you know what? Now go and love someone who's walked in that path and bring them my healing. Let's just spend some time with our Father. Get on our knees and just ask God, show me what it is you're calling me. And so I'm just going to give you some time. The worship team's going to sing. But just receive. Receive from your Father. Receive from the one that loves you more than anyone else.
I see God and remind my soul that I am one.
God is wanting to say, you are mine. You are mine. He reminded me this morning that we are his children, and he has paid the price for me, and he has paid the price for you, and the chains that have held on to you for so long, he's already paid for them. You need to look and see that the chains are gone. We're the ones who are holding on to the chains. He has already used the key to open them and let them go. Let's stand and sing, I Am Yours. Let's sing it together. Let's cross the aisle. If you want to stay seated on the ground and just praying, feel free to do that. But let's join hands together and let's really sing out that we are his. God, we just come before you, Lord, as your children. God, with our brokenness, God, but also knowing that you have and you will heal us. Father God, we come before you as your wives, Lord, as your daughters, as your sons, as your children, God, and we scream out, you are ours, God. So I ask that you will just speak to each and every one of these people in this room, Father God, that you will restore their souls, Lord, that they will remember whose they are, that their identity is in you and you alone, Father God. Lord, we just ask that you will just cover them this week as they go, Lord, that they don't just leave what was spoken here at the door, God, but they will carry it with them. They will digest it, Lord, and you will reveal more to them about what you're trying to teach them, God. You are not done teaching us that our identity is in you, God. You want us to know it. You want us to claim it. You want us to scream it from the mountaintops, Father God, and you're going to keep teaching us until we get it, God, because you are a faithful God. And when you have something for us, you want us to know it. So, Father God, I just ask that the Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace and his shalom. I just pray that you have a good week, a week in which you can find others to just lift you up. Amen.